VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now you can check out VSiN's NFL Draft Hub, Tim Murray's Mock Draft, Greg Peterson's MLB Best Bets, and later today you can check out Zach Cohen's NBA Best Bets and Player Props, Jonathan Davis's NHL Picks, and Steve Mackinnon's MLB Analytics Report. Right now you can sign up for our summer special for only $59 for full VSiN Pro access until August 1st. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from C. Spackler. I'm a Colorado fan. I watched every game of Shador's Colorado tenure. Good quarterback without the best receiver the game has seen in a long time. Probably not. Was it Shador or was it Hunter? I want him to do well because I love his over-the-top father, but he's not a great quarterback. You may be, I'm not disputing that either. You may be very right about that. Donnie Miller, lucky you with the MGM draft props. They offered zero draft props in Ohio. Yeah. Some states don't allow it at all. I am aware of that as well. By the way, let me clarification on what I said earlier. William Hill slash Caesars is always a little bit of a strange thing. It was William Hill who had the maintenance all day yesterday. It was Caesars who simply just didn't have them. But the app was operational. They simply chose not to have them. And apparently, Iga Świątek is having trouble with Alexandra Iala on clay. Down a break in the first set, and Shrek McPhee says, Iga's broken. No way she should be the favorite at Roland Garros at the moment. Her killer instinct is completely gone. Cannot finish any break points. Bizarre. You might be right. The mental thing might be so bad at this point that you might have a point. Jason McKinney, Gil, I'm landing in Vegas around noon on Saturday. Do you have any good insight on round 7? So I always have to be cognizant of this, and I am completely above board on this and transparent that there is a segment of the audience that cannot stand NFL draft talk. I get it. I know there is a portion of the audience. We can't get enough of football. I can't get enough of football of any kind in betting the draft. I promise you after tomorrow, this will kind of go away. So hope you're aware of that. Michael Montesano is a big draft nick as well. He's a Circa Booby Prize winner from their original Circa Millions back in the day. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Pardon me. And you can follow him on Twitter at Bets and Reps. Is that what it is? No. Bets and Reps? Yes.
That's it. Bets and Reps. Yep.
How you doing, man? You good?
Good. How you doing? It's a great day. It's happy draft day. Once the NCAA tournament's over, it's like we got 2 weeks to dive into this stuff.
Yeah, let's go to the NBA awards first, and then we'll segue back into the draft. I know you've hit a lot of these NBA awards, but the one that you more famously talked about here on our air was Defensive Player of the Year. You have a lot of Lou Dort bets, Lugansk Dort's bets. He wasn't even a finalist in the end. You have something sort of philosophical to say about all this.
Well, I mean, there's the old quote, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. And, the last 2 years, this awards market, I just can't figure out. I've done pretty well in some of the other NBA awards markets. It's just this one, I think there's just too much common sense that's involved. And, a lot of the voters, unfortunately, do not have any common sense when it comes to this award. It's a groupthink award. You and I discussed it in length last year about Wemby and Gobert. And this one, I think, just really kind of takes the cake, with everything. There's two things that can be true. These voters have no clue, and they're just as idiotic when they're submitting their votes. And I am just as idiotic for betting this award market. So, Lou Dort not being a finalist just makes absolutely no sense. And the one thing I will say is I want to meet the voters who voted for Gobert last year and voted for Dyson Daniels this year. Those are the guys or gals I want to get into a room. I would love to just hear what they have to say about that.
That was good. I thought that was going to go a different way. I would love to scream bloody murder at them.
Yeah. No, I want to hear their train of thought because there are some voters out there that voted for Gobert last year and then they voted Dyson Daniels this year. It makes absolutely no sense.
No sense whatsoever. But I will say this. What you said there is great. And we've said this many times on the show, which is, and I go back to the Spencer Strider thing, right? Spencer Strider was my moment of that, which is like, look, it doesn't matter how much evidence we have to support a case. By the way, in Spencer Strider's case, he actually had a few blowups, so he didn't deserve it in the end. Until he had those blowups, though, right? He didn't end up being a finalist for Cy Young either that year, and he probably didn't deserve to be in the end. But the overall point that you're making is, and this is good for new bettors or new-ish bettors, the object here is to win bets. The object here is not to have a crusade to prove that you are right about something. Ultimately, you are handicapping voters. And those are human beings who have their own reasons for voting on what they are. And a lot of them are not going to be as sophisticated as you, Mike, right, with advanced stats. And so that's the task. The task is to try to match what their brains are going to have them submit in the end, not look at me, this is my crusade, I am correct about this passion of mine. That's the bottom line.
Absolutely. And it's just as upset as I am about this award. I'll go back to the NFL Comeback Player of the Year 2 years ago when I had Flacco and everyone was up in arms about DeMar Hamlin. So it's give or take, you know. So.
Yep. Okay. To the NFL. What do you know? What do you know? What do you think you know for sure? What don't you know at all? I just went through Jeremiah and McShay matching on 1 through 6 now, 9 and 12. And besides that, it seems to be a crapshoot. Do you believe in what those two guys are matching on? Do you think 1 through 6 is solidified?
I don't believe in 1 through 6. I do believe in 1 through 5. Now, I think at 5, it could get a little interesting. I do. Genty, I really believe, is going 5. The question is he going to go to the Jags? Or there's a lot of rumblings that the Bears want to move up to take him. So if Mason Graham is not going 5, I think McShay was pretty clear about that, then it was between two players. It was between Genty and it was between Tet McMillan. So if there's a trade that happens from, you just got to have to follow throughout the day. If it does happen, I think something to look at is maybe taking Tet McMillan to go number 10. I have not bet it yet, but it's something I'm really looking into. I think he's like 11-1 or 9-1 because if they'll probably feel like they can get Tet at 10 and get some assets back and trade with the Bears. But, you know, at 6, 7, 8, I really do think it's, you know, they seem pretty adamant that it's going to be Banks at 6. I'm not quite so sure about that.
So Teteroa McMillan to go 10. That's an interesting thought. Give me some other bets, maybe in some other kinds of props. Daniel Jeremiah had 3 quarterbacks and 3 running backs going in the first round. Do you see it that way?
Okay, so I bet the under in the quarterbacks, you know, when I texted you the other day, when McShay was talking about it, just doesn't see Shadur going in the first round. And I know, you know, he can't really predict people, you know, teams trade him into the first round. And, you know, right now it's a coin flip, I think. And I do have over 2.5 running backs being taken. I just think, you know, that, you know, one of the Ohio State guys could sneak in there. Henderson, you know, he's a dynamic player. And with that being said, I took a shot. And this is the draft. You got to take shots. I think, you know, you and Luke have said that positions, you know, teams who they're going to draft or maybe where they're going to go, players where they're going to go. I took a shot with Kansas City, and I still think you can get it to take a running back. And I got him at 11-1. I think you could still take that. Again, these are shots. And the reason why I'm taking more shots is that, you know, I texted you on December 11th that I took Cam Ward to go number one. At the time, the Giants really wanted him, and the Giants had to go screw up the whole draft by going to beat the Colts. And Diana Rossini came out and said the Giants were the one team that tried to go up to get to number one. So back on December 11th, I took Cam Ward to go number one at 7-1. So I'm playing with kind of some house money right now. That's the way I'm looking at it. I also took Green Bay to draft a wide receiver. Maybe they want to make a splash. I think you can still get them at 5-1. I got them at plus 650. So there's a lot of things you can look at. You can look at what you want to do.
And I just want to say this too. I mean, again, it depends on what they're allowing you to bet, obviously, to make it worth your bang for your buck. But think about these odds, right? 5-1, 7-1, 9-1. I mean, when do you get such casual numbers in an event like this? And again, I related to if the Rockies beat the Dodgers, right? That's like a plus 375, let's say, winner. I mean, think about what this is. And again, they're probably not letting you bet nearly as much as they would on the Rockies. Don't get me wrong. But I do think there's opportunities here, even including, like, let's just take the Commanders. If you told me you wanted to, say, bet them to draft a wideout and then make an additional bet on them to draft a running back, 9-1, 11-1, respectively, at 29 where they're picking, I wouldn't hate that. Yes, could you lose both? Sure you could. But it just, the way that the draft, you know, manifests, the way that it matriculates down the cascades down to 29, you have no idea what's going to be available there. So I don't know.
No idea. I took, what you just said, I took Buffalo to take a cornerback at plus 275, and I might go back and take and have them take a safety at plus 600. 6-1. So you just don't know. I did take a long shot. I tweeted this out last night. Seattle, the draft Jalen Milroe at 20-1. If anyone wants to throw some pizza money, wow, or have some fun with that.
Yeah. By the way, Trey Amos paired with Buffalo a lot at 30 as well. So that would play into your cornerback theory as well. Michael, good luck with your bets tonight.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Zach Cohen on tennis, the NBA, and the NFL next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready to get in on the action? First Bet has you covered. Sign up now to access exclusive promotions and bet on hundreds of thrilling horse races every day right from your phone or computer. Visit firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. And use promo code VSIN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Start betting today at firstbet.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. Dan Groeschel, some like watching Christmas movies on Christmas, others like Halloween movies on Halloween. I celebrate this special day each year by watching Kevin Costner's masterpiece, Draft Day. I see what you did there. Tronsky, I have a bone to pick with that Colorado fan, Gil, and he said he watched all of Shador's games and that he's not great. I am in Colorado, have watched 80% of his games. Yes, he has flaws trying to extend plays, as most young quarterbacks do, but his accuracy and poise are underrated. Talking about Shador Sanders there. Chris Heath, am I hearing this right? I think I won an award bet, but now I have to check which account. Between William Hill and Caesars you're talking about? No, I think you'll be fine. Tony Tags at Tony Taglioni. Draft day used to be glorious. In 2021, my brother and I drove from Central Washington to Northern Oregon to get a one-player middle on defensive players taken. Last five picks were defense, cashed both bets. Thank you. Joe Tryon, I guess, was his buddy who did that with him. NC I-95, Washington Commanders to select a wideout, 10-1 at FanDuel currently in North Carolina. LFG, I'm taking a shot because why blanking not, he says. That's the attitude. Chad Lee, regarding booking the draft, is this bet vehicle, as you call it, sustainable long-term in Nevada, given NFL draft outcomes are in fact predetermined? Well, they're not predetermined. Derek Stevens, he says, as an example, shows a very public lack of enthusiasm in booking the event, given the lack of profitability. There's no question about that. They don't want to book it at all in some cases. Again, my whole thing is, look, there's a reason they keep building casinos and they keep building sports books, right? They're going to be fine. They're going to win long term no matter what. Here you have this one event that has been, you know, just a little drop in the bucket for bettors over the years. And the fact that you would, like, not even, right, the notion of a loss leader in Business 101, that is not something that they would even want to entertain. And as they peel back from this, even though they've won, you know, they didn't really lose, and in some cases they won, but in some cases they didn't lose badly the last 2 years. It's just, like everything, a bad look, in my opinion. Of course, they have their own business reasons for doing what they do. Do I think it's absolutely a done deal that it will exist long term? To answer your question, no, I do not. I do not. Zach Cohen is kind enough to join us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter, Betting on X, part of the whole glue that holds this whole operation together. He is our senior writer and editor over there, VSiN.com. Zach, let me just start. Let's crescendo here. First of all, do you have any NFL draft bets? Do you partake in that?
I only have one this year. I found it to be a really tricky year. The one that I took is kind of a dart throw on the Rams to take Shador Sanders, which I got at 20-1. And I'm starting to feel a little bit better about that because when I first took it, I thought they'd maybe have to move up. Now I'm starting to think it's possible that he drops to them. But I do think, you know, given the way he is described as an accurate passer that needs an offensive line, you know, maybe isn't great at extending plays, takes a few too many sacks, that kind of reminds me of Jared Goff. And I feel like this is a team that badly needs a quarterback. You know, obviously Matthew Stafford was just re-signed, but he's not going to be there for a long time. And I think that they're pretty set on the defensive side of the ball. They have some talent at the skill positions. So I think if he's there, it's going to be hard for them to pass on him.
To tennis, before we get to the NBA, this is one of these things where I don't know how you're having a much better tennis season than I am. I am getting murdered this morning, and this is after having like a really good week, like especially a really monster day last week, where I'm like, okay, maybe the earth is returning to its axis. And this, you know, I had this trajectory. I think in betting, you have to be aware. Like, I had this period where I bet baseball for many years successfully, and then it kind of, you know, like the edge dissipated. Tennis, I've had great years in a row. Maybe the edge is dissipating because I can't seem to, I don't know what I know at this point. And by the way, this has nothing to do with my bets. Because here, by the way, let's flash up my bets from this morning. I am currently, I think, 0-4 updated right now. One of them is a walkover. But I think I'm 0-4. They're all dogs. So again, you know, we're not losing on favorites here. But they ain't getting home. Let's put it that way. How's it going for you this morning?
No, honestly, you might be having a better year than me. I'm down this year about 8 units, which is, you know, it's a tough pill to swallow after I've been up 40 the last 2 years. So it's been a tough season for me so far. I have been better over the last 2 weeks. I think I'm starting to get it figured out a little bit. But I had Haley Baptiste this morning as well. I thought that was a match where, given what we've seen in the 2025 season, it didn't feel like Vekic should have been favored. But obviously, you know, sometimes they know things we don't. And she did go out there and perform at a really high level. But yeah, I'm hoping to pick some back up a little bit today. I have Borna Coric right now going against Matteo Arnaldi. I had Coric at plus 140. Just been a player that has been kind of lights out at the challenger level lately. 17-3 in challengers since the start of the 2025 season. And Arnaldi is a player that I believe is kind of dipping in form lately. So it's felt like a really good value. Hopefully I get that one. I have a few challenger plays up on the website.
And Iga down a set on clay to the Filipina girl, Alexandra Ayala, who beat her in Miami. So, again, something is terribly wrong with Iga. Something is terribly wrong with her. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You wanted to say.
No, I was going to say, like, I think that there are stuff going on off the court that is getting in her mind. And I do think that on the court, she presses way too much and puts a lot of pressure on herself.
It's tough to watch. All right. To the association. Last night, Celtics take a 2-0 lead over the Magic. They don't have Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown steps up, 36 points, 10 boards. They don't cover, though. The Celtics were not really in cover position for, you know, almost all that game, so no surprise that they didn't cover. That wasn't the case with Cleveland, who ends up beating Miami 121-112. They take a 2-0 lead in that best of seven. They were in cover position for most of that game and didn't get home, much to the chagrin of one of my contest plays there. And then the other big one last night, of course, this is the biggest news in the NBA last night. Houston evens it up with the Warriors with a 109-94 win. Golden State never really flirting with winning that game. The big news, Podziemski was injured before the game. He barely, you know, he was on and off the court. But then in the first quarter, where it went from one starters out to two, and two being big, much bigger, Jimmy Butler gets upended like a corner upends a wide receiver by Amen Thompson and lands on his tailbone, a pelvic contusion, as Matt Brown calls contusions, fancy bruises. He's getting an MRI today. This is obviously, you know, potentially mammoth for this series and this postseason. Warriors are still minus 180, knotted up at one apiece. Are you thinking about a Rockets-adjusted series price?
I already have the Rockets to win the series, and I have them to win in six, so I don't think I'm going to add anything to my position, but yeah, it's really hard to lay off Houston right now. Obviously, if Butler is out for even a game or two, that's going to swing things back in Houston's direction. I just don't think, you know, they can afford to play Pat Spencer, you know, 20 minutes like they did last night. Like, you're looking at some very odd lineup combinations when Butler is not playing, and I do think that there are going to be some games where Curry really struggles with this Houston defense. So I do think the Rockets are in pretty good shape here. Obviously, very nice to see Jalen Green finally, you know, just knocking down some shots and finding some confidence, because game one was very ugly for him. If he is making shots, this is a completely different basketball team.
Jalen Green last night for the Rockets with 38. Sengun 17 and 16 boards. But the Rockets turned everything around, right? Another big rebounding advantage for them. They had a 52-36 rebounding advantage in game one, 47-33 last night. But remember, they were 16 of 20 from the line last night instead of 11 for 20 in game one and 10 turnovers instead of just 16 in game one. So that'll do the trick in addition to those the injury and illness. Tonight, a triple header. Let's do these in chronological order here tonight. The Knicks are now a one-point favorite in Game 3, series knotted up at one apiece at Detroit. You have a play here.
Yeah, I like the Knicks tonight. I just think this has swung a little bit too far for me. I think New York is still a better team. We saw in Game 1 just how quickly they can kind of turn it on and outplay this team when they are playing the right way. I thought in Game 2 there was way too much kind of Jalen Brunson hero ball. I think that, you know, that's kind of the general takeaway from everybody. They need to start getting Cat involved a little bit more. You know, they need guys like Bridges to knock down some shots, but I do think that's going to happen. But, you know, my pre-series handicap was kind of that, you know, this team just has a little too much, you know, firepower outside of the star players. I think that Brunson, you know, goes head-to-head with Cade pretty well. Who does Detroit have that they can really rely on a game-by-game basis? I don't think that they have that player, whereas the Knicks have a few of them. So I think that we're going to see the Knicks kind of take control of this series again. I don't know if it's going to be tonight or it's the next game, but I'll probably be on them in both. If New York loses tonight, I'm definitely going to be on them in Game 4.
All right, OKC, who dominated Memphis in the first two games, they're 9.5-point road favorites in Game 3 tonight. And then in the series that has been the best, I think, through two games, Clippers, 5-point favorites in Game 3 now that we're back in L.A. at Staples Center, what was once called the Staples Center, hosting the Nuggets. Any plays in either of those two?
Yeah, I'm going to be on the Grizzlies. It's been really tough to watch this team, but I will say it's been a team all year that was top five in the league in adjusted offensive rating. I know how good Oklahoma City is defensively, but I would just be really surprised if we don't see at least one really strong performance out of the Grizzlies. And I do think the Clippers win tonight. I'll keep it quick. I just don't think Russell Westbrook's going to continue to play well the way he has in games one and two. He's not going to shoot this well the rest of the series.
So no play in the Clippers-Nuggets game?
Maybe I'll play it for the contest just because I'm trying to catch up a little bit, but not playing anything in the in actual plays.
Zach, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Joe Fortenbaugh next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is draft day, of course. VSiN knows every pick matters. Tune in for two special live shows breaking down every pick of the first round from a betting perspective. VSiN Primetime, that's the VSiN Primetime Draft Edition, starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, followed by Cashing Out Draft Edition at 11 p.m. Eastern. Full-blown draft coverage, baby. Plus, explore our NFL Draft Hub on the VSiN Watch app, featuring exclusive analysis, team needs, and insights. Or visit Visa.com/draft for full coverage. Christmas for adults is here. Finally, we're picking players tonight in the NFL draft. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Let's see here. This is Justin D. I believe the saying that Montesano was talking about is fool me once, shame on you, fool me, you can't get fooled again. That was from George W. Bush. Yes, the famous quote from W on that. Ryan Niemi. I've been holding an over 2.5 quarterback ticket. I'm taking a bath on that one tonight, aren't I? Well, not according to Daniel Jeremiah here, not. He's got three quarterbacks going. He's got the Giants trading up for Jackson Dart. He's got Shador going to Pittsburgh. And J.D. Emmons, our buddy from Alabama, he says, Iga struggling on clay? It's my fault, okay? I have her. Oh, he's got a parlay going that could pay 128-1 if Iga ends up winning. I assume that's the French Open you got there. Yeah. Yeah, I think he is just struggling, period. Ladies and gentlemen, he is one of the stars of ESPN Bet on ESPN, previously known as Daily Wager. Every once in a while, I think you might see him hosting a SportsCenter. At least he did at one time. Maybe they have him in there as well. He's always on SportsCenter, don't get me wrong, chumming it up with all of your favorite SportsCenter hosts. Before ESPN, he was a successful morning radio show host in San Francisco. Before that, it was the National Football Post. And more than any of that, he still holds the record for most appearances on the Beating the Book Megapod. It's Joe Fortenbaugh, everybody. How you doing, Joe?
What a day. What a day this is to think about when I started betting this stuff back in 2008, when it was strictly offshore. Like, there was nothing you could do. It was, I don't even know if locals were offering any of this stuff back then. Like, you go offshore, you get the ability to bet the top 10 picks, and that'd pretty much be it. Then we get legalization, it pops, then everyone realizes it's actually beatable, so books, for the most part, stop offering it or offer terrible prices, and now we've kind of come full circle. So we're all grinding, just in a different way, but it's good to be on with you, my friend.
Good to have you, man. I appreciate the time. I know you're a busy guy. By the way, the radio show is what time every day?
12 to 3, baby. 12 to 3 Eastern. Joe and Q. Q's there in Las Vegas as well. I'm sure you guys see him running around as he covers the Raiders about as well as anyone in that town.
Okay, so you're as, you know, locked in as anybody on this. What do you think you know for sure? Or maybe let me ask it a different way. What is something you think you know, obviously beyond the obvious at the very top of the draft? What is something that you have come to believe is going to happen?
I love the way you phrase that. Rather than just be like, hey, what are some bets you like? Give me a certainty so everyone can go scrambling and then we can post this on the internet. Fantastic work. Here's where I currently stand, because it's like, what's the point of giving you some of the bets I made 2 weeks ago?
That's why I don't ask that, Joe. That's why I don't ask that.
Like 2 months ago, I got a tip that like the Titans had settled on Ward, and you could get Tennessee specifically drafting him one overall at less than minus $2. Now, that's long gone. So here's kind of my thought, and then we can play it out from there. I'm under 2.5 quarterbacks in this draft. It's what, plus 115 now, depending on where you look. So a lot of that value's gone. I don't see this as a good quarterback class. I think that's what we've seen. We are coming off a year where we got six quarterbacks in like the top 12 picks, and everyone just assumes supply and demand, most important position, teams are going to trade back in. But you go back 2 years ago, and it was three guys that went in the first round, and they went in the first four picks. That was Anthony Richardson, Ford at the Colts. And then the year before that, we got one. Like, just because we saw six last year, I mean, how good are these guys? First off, Ward's going number one because it's need. Most people say he wasn't even better than Bo Nix if he was in last year's draft class. I don't think Sanders is that great. I saw an over-under on him at 21.5, which basically says, are the Steelers taking him or not? I think no. I think everyone just assumes he's going to the Steelers, just like we all assumed the Steelers were going to take Kenny Pickett a few years ago. Steelers need a quarterback. Quarterback's going to be there. Let's mock it. But every mock you read is, well, I'm not really sure the Steelers do this. I don't think they're doing it. I don't think the guy's that great. It's not a knock on his character. It's not a knock on his family. It's not a knock on anything other than the fact that I think he's good, not great. And I think Dart just got a lot of hype because we had 4 months to talk about this. So I could be dead wrong, but I'm going under on the quarterback. I'm going over 21.5 on Sanders. I'm going over 24.5 on Dart. I do like over 2.5 running backs, and I'm also going under 2.5 wide receivers. Those are both plus money plays. I don't think Egbuka gets in there from Ohio State. I know he's a high character guy, and if you had a daughter, he'd be great to marry her, all that stuff. But I think he's fine. It's not a good wide receiver class, and I think the running back class, given the demand that we have, you could have two off the board with Genty and either Hampton or Henderson by the time the Broncos are up. And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe the Chargers or the Bills, with the issues they're having with James Cook, I wouldn't be surprised if any of those teams took one in the back end of the first round.
See, Joe, that's why I asked it how I asked it. We got to where we needed to go.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll do 5 minutes on players you think are worth marrying and those that aren't. Maybe we'll do that next. No?
That's it for me, everyone. Thanks for having me, Gil. Yeah. I'll catch you next year.
All right. To the NBA, sir. Unless you had anything else to say about the draft. No, nothing?
A couple others.
Okay.
There's a bet over under 8.5 defensive lineman / edge. I like the over. Just be careful. I did some digging on this. You got to make sure you're well aware of the classification of these players. Travis Hunter is going to be classified as a cornerback. And most books are putting that up. But he told Goodell he wants Goodell to announce him as a corner and wide receiver. So I'd imagine there might be some drama with that when people are trying to cash their tickets and make some decisions moving forward. So you got to be aware of that. Also, Jalen Walker, the pass rusher from Georgia, a lot of people keep mocking him as an edge. He was a linebacker at the combine. I did some digging. He will be announced as a linebacker. Walker, from Georgia, will not be an edge. So he will not count for the defensive line edge category. I still like the over 8.5 there because I think there's going to be a ton of these D linemen going, but I want people to be very well aware of that with the props. I also see him going 8 to Carolina specifically.
All right, we're going to have to work on your energy, Joe. Once again, every time, we have to work on your energy. To the NBA.
It's been my whole career.
It's been a huge problem. The NBA tonight, a trio of games again. New York, Detroit knotted up at 1 apiece with the Knicks 1.5-point favorites. Then OKC, once again, a big favorite. This time on the road, though, 9.5-point favorite. They've just crushed Memphis the first two games. And then the Nuggets and the Clippers. Clippers back in L.A., 5-point favorites. That series knotted up at 1 apiece. Do you have a play on any of those games?
All of them, baby. Here we go. I like the Knicks -1.5. We're laying 7 and we're laying 6.5 in games 1 and 2 in New York. I think it's too much of an adjustment just because of the venue change. Karl-Anthony Towns, OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges were a combined 3 of 17 from three-point range in game two, and nobody showed up in the fourth quarter. I don't see that happening again. I like to discount on the Knicks. I also think we go over 21.5 points for Karl-Anthony Towns. Last game out, he scored only 10. He was like 5 of 11 shooting. His points prop in this series had been 23.5 and 22.5. Now it's down to 21.5 as a result of what we just saw. So we zigzag here. We play the over. In the Denver game, I'm going to play the under. I think it's sitting somewhere around 212-ish. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if you look at game one and game two where the closing totals were, they were higher than this. The only reason we got 222 points in game one was because of overtime. That was actually less than 200 in regulation. And game two was like 205 or 207 in regulation. Look at game two's box score. Both teams shot well. Both teams shot well from three-point range. They're playing at a really slow pace in this series. That's the thing that's dragging it down. So even though the total's been reduced again, I think you could play another under here. And then it's only a player prop for me in the OKC game. Jalen Williams over 4.5 assists. This one's been killing against the Grizz all season. 5 of 6 it's hit in 6 matchups. He's averaging just over 6 assists per game against them. He's gone over this in both games he's played against them in this series. He's scoring a little bit more, but the shooting's been really good. That might drop. As the series shifts to Memphis, I could see how maybe you get a little bit more of a competitive effort from the Grizz, which means more minutes for Williams, which means more opportunities. So under in the Denver game, we got the Knicks, we got Karl-Anthony Towns over 21.5 points, we got Jalen Williams over 4.5 assists.
I love it. 60 seconds left here, Joe. You, as I mentioned before, you worked in San Francisco morning radio for half a decade. You know the Warriors well. Assuming, and this is a big assumption, right, because Jimmy Butler's getting an MRI today, assuming everything's okay and he can go, which I don't know if he can, but if he can, how are you feeling about the Warriors? I assume if they don't have him, you're not feeling good about them at all. But if they do, how are you feeling about them in this series and beyond?
We're probably 2-2 coming out of the two games in the Bay. Like, this is a good Houston team. They lost game one, and then everyone checked out on them. I was on TV yesterday with someone who thought it was going to be a sweep, and I'm thinking to myself, look at game one. It's a young team. It's a big spot against Grizzly veterans. They were obviously overwhelmed by the moment. They shot like crap, and they lost the game. So look at last night. Everything kind of bounces back into place. So if you're putting me on the spot to make a pick for the series, assuming Butler's okay, I still lean Warriors, but I didn't love them coming into this series, and I certainly don't love them now. This Houston team can play. If the Warriors get past them, it's going to require a war.
Joe, you're the best. Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Love you, Gil. Thanks for the opportunity to speak with your audience. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. So it's very kind of him to say that. Joe Fortenbaugh, everybody. At Joe Fortenbaugh, cleverly on Twitter. That's where you can follow him as well. Crack, next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back in the Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. We had tweets at Beating the Book. Vegas regular. Who was the influencer? Again, Amanda Vance was the influencer I was referring to. Sweet as could be.
Yeah, you didn't say nothing bad about her. We're just talking about sweet as could be. How these kids, you know, come up with these things. You
wonderful
know?
Person. Yeah. Not saying anything beyond what I was just referring to. Scott, New York, Mess 16. Gil, that lady must have watched the movie The Replacements a few too many times. The Replacements, whether it's Keanu Reeves, was that about the Scab Skins of 87, I believe? I got the right movie? Joe C714. I get VSiN trying to get new subscribers. Oh, he's an old subscriber. He wants stuff. He wants stuff. C Spackler. Next, you're going to tell me that WWE is fake. I'll leave Santa out of this out of respect. Somebody tell quote-unquote Vegas to go blank. To go blank himself. Keno Walker, great conversation today, he said. Let's go through our best bets before we get back to crack so we can get through these. These are best bets courtesy of G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. I have one more tennis bet today. It's Rinky Hijikata, by the way. But I'll be the first to tell you, tread lightly. The day has not gone well. It appears like Iga may have righted the ship, though, in round number one. So there's that. NFL draft tonight. Once again, we're finally drafting players. Christmas for adults. These were my picks through time here. Travis Hunter, second overall pick, -135. That price is way out of whack now. That's my that along with Saints position of first player drafted defensive line edge at 7-1 are my biggest bets. Everything else was a limited one, including the Commanders position of first player drafted wide receiver at 9-1. And again, that's the biggest thing I can say to you here for those that can still bet this. For those of you who can still bet this until the draft tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, teams which position to draft first. You should be taking flyers on those because who knows how the draft will develop and you will eventually hit one of these. In between, some really limited bets offshore. Matthew Golden, first wide receiver selected, plus 140. Expect to lose that. Total first-round running backs under 2.5. I think I win, but I don't know. Tyler Warren, over 9.5 draft position. I hope to win that. And Ashton Jeanty, over 9.5 at plus 165. I will probably lose that. Again, first thing we talked about today, Daniel Jeremiah and Todd McShay. They match 1 through 6, 9 and 12. 1 through 6 being Ward, Hunter, Carter, Campbell, Jeanty, Banks. 9, Mikael Williams to the Saints, from their lips to God, and Teterow McMillan, 12 to the Cowboys. As far as our guest today, Michael Montesano joined us earlier today talking about his draft bets that you can make right now. Chiefs position of first player drafted, running back, 11-1. He's doing this with the teams and the positions, like I was talking about earlier. Bills position of first player drafted, cornerback, plus 275. Packers position of first player drafted, wide receiver, 5-1. These are all bettable right now in jurisdictions that still allow. And he's taking a flyer on the Seahawks to draft Jalen Milroe at 20-1. So he's taking a flyer on that as well. To see if the Seahawks go quarterback there in the first round. Zach Cohen joined us. He's got two NBA plays. He's on the Knicks tonight, laying a point against the Pistons, game 3. That series knotted up in one game apiece. And he is taking the points with the Grizzlies. Oh, bold man. Taking the 10 versus OKC tonight, game 3. OKC up 2-0 in that series. Joe Fortenbaugh from ESPN Bet and ESPN Radio. Knicks. He's laying the 1.5 against the Pistons in game 3 in Detroit tonight. He's also got a prop in that game. Karl-Anthony Towns, over 21.5 points. He's on the Nuggets-Clippers under game 3 tonight, 212. And he's got a prop in the OKC game, Jalen Williams, over 4.5 assists. That from Joe. All of that courtesy of GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Once again, GBank upping the ante, as they always do. With a $750 bonus, up to a $750 bonus for new GBank Visa Signature card customers. First new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. Bill Krakenberger, once again, y'all, at Bill Crackman with a K on Twitter. Wisecracks is the name of the podcast, which he does with both John Orlando and Randy McKay.
Yep, Randy's been on. He was on football season, and he's on for some good things about video poker and different things and some advantage bets that he makes and advantage gambling, and I always appreciate Randy. You know, something I wanted to talk about here. So, 4 slot players. I didn't talk about it yesterday on my show. 4 slot players brought a lawsuit against IGT. I think that stands for International Gaming Technology. They make all the games. You'll see IGT on the games. For the randomness of the Wheel of Fortune spins. Now, I want to tell you something. I happen to agree with them, of course. I'm normally going to agree with the people that are against any gaming corporations anyway, because they usually have a good beef. But, you know, you can't fight these big corporations, and I don't know how this case actually is going to turn out, or if it maybe even turned out. I heard about it back in December, and I just wanted to revisit it here. So for anyone that knows, I'm sure you people know, this is one of the oldest bonus games there is the Wheel of Fortune. So you play, you try to get that spin on the last reel to be able to a chance to spin the reel. So now what they're saying, unlike the game of Wheel of Fortune, where you grab the pegs and, you know, spin the wheel, and it's random where it's gonna, your peg is gonna land, and the game of Wheel of Fortune, that is, of course, you're gonna land the 1,000 is the max prize. You're gonna land one peg away, 25, or 50, or you know. So they have said this is not a random thing, but you're showing it like it's the game of Wheel of Fortune, like it is random and it's predetermined is what it is. It doesn't matter like, oh, this is a random thing and it starts here.
Can I ask a simple question?
Yeah.
Isn't it obvious that it wouldn't be random?
Well, to be honest with you, I am for the people that get duped, and I'll use that strong word,
yeah,
into when they're playing, let's say, a double diamond. It's an old game. Double diamond, blank, right above. Right above the pay level it hits, you know, or seven. Ooh, the red seven right below. Well, we should keep playing because it's close.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they'll keep hitting the wheel. I think they're enticing you to gamble more. They're enticing you to play more, thinking you're close. You're almost going to hit it. You just missed. This machine's hot. This machine's, you know.
So what you're saying is that even though, commonsensically speaking, it should be obvious to anyone that anything electronic can be rigged.
Right.
Right? Even though, and maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, but this is how I would phrase it. Even though it should be common sense to anyone that anything electronic can be rigged, you're saying that there is always going to be people that are duped by such a thing.
Yes.
And that they are that life does have naive human beings, and you advocate for these people, and these are the folks who are bringing this complaint.
Not even naive, Gil. Just think about the manufacturers that are making the games. These are computer guys and, you know, computer geeky type of people sometimes. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. The smart people that they may not even ever gambled in their life.
Yeah.
But they're making this game to seem like it's something maybe it's not, because they don't realize they're not in the pulse of any kind of a gambling decision in their life.
I agree.
Just like the live wagering over at the M Casino when they first opened up and Cantor Gaming came into town and was thrown out of town. They had a guy that was working the live wagering that never gambled, but he didn't think nothing about denying a wager because the commercials come out and he knew the results, but took the bad ones and didn't take the good ones because he didn't think it was cheating.
I agree with you, I think, because, you know, we've all been naive at something before. I mean, first of all, if you walk around Vegas and you ever see the three card Monte thing?
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Right people by where still, you live.
People,
right, out,
right.
Out on the crosswalk.
Every day still fall for that. But I'll take something even more like sort of relatable, palatable. You remember old school? You have to be a certain age to remember this. Before there was like e-trades and electronic stockbroking. You remember when a stockbroker used to call you and say,
right,
I really think you should buy this particular stock?
Of course.
It never occurred to young folks like myself initially, oh, they have an incentive to advocate or you buying this particular stock. Like, you thought they were above board.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a version of that is what you're referring to. There's always going to be people, no matter how naive I might think it is or you might think it is, that are going to be duped by it. So you're right.
I have a friend of mine back in Long Island that one of my only really true friends, and he works for a big company, Morgan Stanley. He's worked there 38 years. And like he says, Bill, would you rather have someone that's been around this business 38 years advise you on senior wealth than you just taking guesses yourself at the stock market or putting the work in yourself? Because I asked him, I said, why do people listen to you? Like, why do they listen to you? What do you know that they can? And he made a good point of it.
Wish Nev would take your side on that. He'd be like, they don't know anything more.
Really?
yeah, he would. Yeah,
but I'm actually not taking that side. Yeah. I'm taking the side that he proved me
wrong. He proved you. He made his case for me.
Yeah. That, you know, he's around these companies, the executives, and whatever. Not my inside trading or nothing. It is what it is. All right, we'll get to these other 65 things in that next week.
Bill, always interesting. Thank you, sir. Good luck with all of your NFL draft bets, whatever else it is you might be betting. Let's go. Let's make some money on this thing. Pick the players already. Stormy is next with Money Moves. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.